Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Swinging Stories. I go by the name of ASAP Harwood, and thanks for tuning in. In this episode, I have a phone conversation with Mistress Michelle. I met Mistress Michelle at a hotel party a few weeks ago, and we got to chatting, and she said she would love to come on my podcast and share her story. But before we get into that conversation, here's what's on my mind. If this is your first time listening to Swinging Stories, welcome. If you're a returning listener, thank you, and I appreciate everybody who's out there listening to me. I could be found on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, Podomatic, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. And speaking of listeners, it's time to go ahead and do that top five power ranking. Each episode, I give a power rankings for the top five countries outside the United States and the top five cities in the United States. So starting with the top five countries, starting at number five, we got India. Number four, Sweden. Coming to number three, the UK. Number two, Australia. And number one, Canada. All right, hopping over to the United States, we got a big shakeup for this month and a returning number one champion. So coming in at number five, Boston, Massachusetts. Number four, Chicago, Illinois. Number three, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Number two, Atlanta, Georgia. Coming in at number one, Wichita, Kansas. Shouts out to Wichita, Kansas. And all the other cities that's out there listening to Swinging Stories. I have some exciting news to share. I've always been interested in going to Northern New Orleans, aka NIN. And this year, it actually falls on my birthday week. I talked a little bit with wifey, and she's giving me the green light to go ahead and book that trip for my birthday. Go out there and celebrate it, do it real big in New Orleans. So I'm definitely excited about that. So if anybody who's been there before want to give me some tips and recommendations, please go ahead and send me a message on Twitter at ASAPHarwood710 or send me an email at ASAPHarwood710@gmail.com and just, you know, let me know what you thought about it if you've been in the past. So I'll give you some updates as that trip comes closer in July. With that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into the interview. Joining us today on Swinging Stories, we have Mistress Michelle. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I met you a couple of weeks ago at a hotel party. It was I think it was based in Virginia, and we just started chatting. And then I told you I had a podcast, and you said you would be interested in coming on and telling your story. So welcome and thank you for coming.
I am excited to be on here.
Now, what do you remember about that night?
So I was co-hosting with a friend of mine from New Jersey, 10-inch Chris, and he's with the Naughty Swingers group, and he asked me to co-host with him. And did I meet you on the Friday or the Saturday night?
It was the Saturday night.
It was the Saturday night, yeah. So the Saturday night was a BBC party?
Yes, that was advertised at the BBC party.
Yep. And we talked for quite a bit with our clothes on.
We did. It seemed like that party, it did, I think around 11 o'clock, people started getting undressed and then moved into the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
When I came into the room, I believe you were with, you were in the bed and you had two guys. I think one was doing doggy style and the other one was, you was giving oral, and I asked you if I could touch you and you said yes. And then I think after that guy finished, I ended up playing with you later on that date.
Yeah, normally at my events, I don't play. Because you're kind of hosting and trying to be the hostess with the mostest with your clothes on. And co-hosting with the Naughty Swingers group allows me to be a little bit more free with my time. So, yeah, I enjoyed myself.
Now, I noticed you did make a nice mess on the bed. Are you usually a squirter? Or?
I am a squirter, yes.
Is there any particular position, or what kind of gets you to that level?
It usually depends on the person I'm with. Not everybody can make you squirt.
Okay, so I always wondered that because I feel like some guys think they can make every girl squirt, or is it up to the guy or the girl, or it just kind of depends on the factors?
No, it just truly depends on who you're with. Like, not everybody can make you come.
Right.
So
how long have you been in the lifestyle? Like, and can you tell us when you first started and your first memories?
So I have been in the lifestyle off and on for a long time. I guess I was in my late 20s, the first swinger party I went to in Florida. My first husband and I went, he was a little bit older than me, so that was his way of trying to keep my appetite fulfilled. And the one thing I noticed back then, that was probably 20 years ago, is that there was a lot of older white couples there. And I didn't find anybody sexy. It just wasn't fun to me. So I kind of stepped out of it and stepped away from it for a while. And then about 15 years ago, I would say, in Orlando, I kind of stepped back into it. And it was more on a BBC level. And that was fun, you know, something fun, something different. I did that for a little while, then I got bored with it and stepped back out of it again. And I recently moved back to the DMV about 10 years ago. I was married, and once I got divorced, I tried the vanilla dating for a little bit, and then I just one day met Chris, 10-inch Chris, at a grocery store in Baltimore, and was telling me about his event that he was having in Baltimore, and I thought, you know, sure, I'll go, and I did. I went. And I find that I'm probably more of a voyeur than anything, but I did go.
So how did he in the grocery store, he just, what made him approach you, and how did that conversation get to that level?
I don't know. I guess it was something in my eyes that let him know that he could be free speaking to me about what's going on. And, talk to me, and I was open to it. I'm pretty open-minded anyway, and as long as you're honest with me, you can just say whatever you feel, and I'll go with it or not. It's totally, you know, it's a choice, and so I was open to it. I think he could probably tell.
Now, what do you remember about that night of that party?
That was a lot of fun. So I literally did not show up until 11:45. And, you know, they say that you have to be in by midnight or that you can't come in.
Right.
So I called him from the parking lot and asked him if it was too late for me to come in. And he said, well, how far away are you? And I said, well, I'm in the parking lot. And he said, well, come on up. And it was February, around this time of year, actually, and I had a long coat on, and I came in, and I kept my coat on probably for about 30 minutes, and I didn't take my coat off at all, and then this one guy asked me, you know, if I was going to keep it on, and I said, well, yeah, I'm going to keep it on, and so he kind of opened my coat and came in between my legs, and he said, do you mind? And I said, no. We were in the living room, and then next thing I know, he was giving me oral, and I was squirting and making, you know, making a mess in the living room, and that kind of broke the ice, but I didn't do anything more. I kind of held back. And, later on that evening, I played with the host.
Okay. So it was like you're on both sides. You've been in the lifestyle, married and single. What are the pros and cons, or which one do you prefer?
So what I have noticed is when I was in my 20s and married, that I wasn't mature enough to handle a marriage in that lifestyle because it had a different meaning to me. I felt like my husband felt he couldn't fulfill me, so he was passing me off on other men. You know, how dare he? But then that's where the immaturity sets in. Today in the lifestyle, I do it as a single female. I don't have a partner. I do go to parties with other males, but for the most part, we're not partners. We'll just go to a party together, more of a safety thing than anything.
Now, is there a big difference between you're currently based in Maryland, but is there a big difference between the swinger scene in Florida and Maryland?
So when I was in Florida, in my 20s, I feel like I couldn't assess that. But when I did the BBC, Art ran the Florida Mandingo group, which is under Dark Caverns. And when I was participating in their event, I would say it's about the same.
Okay. Now, I know you mentioned BBC a couple of times, but you're not strictly BBC. You're open to all.
Yeah, I'm open to all races.
And as far as when you're attending parties, do you have a preference as far as if it's a hotel or a nightclub or a club?
So I've actually only been to one club.
Okay.
And I was more in a business state of mind than I was in a patron state of mind. And so the whole time I was assessing, man, if this was my club, I would do this, 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 and this, you know, which is why I do events, because I feel like as a single female especially, there are certain things you look for when you go to somebody's house or to a hotel or even to a club. A single female needs more reassurance of safety and sexy and, you know. And so whenever I do my own events or I go to other places, I'm always kind of trying to scope that out. And so sometimes it's kind of hard to take that business hat off and because I always want to make sure that people that come to my events are having a great time. So I'm always looking for new and fresh ideas.
So what made you start on your own parties? And tell me some of the cool events you've done in the past.
So I started throwing my own because, not that I thought I could do it better, but I feel like sex should be fun. It's a recreational thing for me. It's a stress reliever for me. So when I go someplace, I want to be having fun, and I don't want the pressure of I'm here, I'm partially nude, so I've obviously set myself up to be dinner for a plate full of men. I want it to be sexy, and no matter how much of my body is naked, the bottom line is you still want to feel sexy and not like a piece of chicken, you know.
Right.
And so I try to create the atmosphere at my event that women feel sexy, men are promoted to make them feel sexy, and there's no pressure, but everybody's having fun. So I do events like I have red panties in stilettos coming up. I've done a jazz theme in the past. I am doing a cuckold party coming up in 2 weeks. I do the interracial parties. I try to kind of stay away from that because I feel like the more balance you have of everyone, people have fun, you know. And even like some black females that come, they may have some kind of secret thing of wanting to be with a white dude, but if her guy is always taking her to an interracial party, she might not have that opportunity as much as he would have the opportunity to have a white female. So I always try to throw in a lot of flavor of everything. And I do screen people that answer my ad.
Now, I saw the party that you had a couple of weeks ago. I think it was called Lights, Camera, Action. What was that about?
So a lot of times people ask, hey, do you mind if we take pictures? Because, you know, you have a no phone rule just because for people's privacy more than anything. And so I've been asked that a lot here lately. And I figured what I'll do is I will try to have an environment where it's kind of controlled. And so I had a couple of professional photographers that came to the event, and they were specifically there to be at the leisure of a couple or an individual that wanted to be either photographed or videotaped. And it was a content trade, so there's no money, you know, and the photographers totally understood that it was not for fee, it was just content trade, and everybody signed waivers. And we had a couple of couples, especially, that they would bring multiple outfits, and they were changing and taking pictures, and it was a lot of fun. It was actually probably one of the best parties I've had so far.
Now would you do it again?
I am going to do it again. I'm not going to do it really close to each other, but I am going to do it again.
I think that's a fun idea because, especially like as a guy, when you're with a couple, maybe the husband always wants to take pictures, but 90% of the time, you never get to see those pictures. He just either keeps them to himself. Even if they crop out the woman's face, you still never see what's going on with pictures. So that sounds like a unique idea.
Yeah, these photographers were really good. They were on it, and we had a lot of fun. I would actually, one of the photographers for sure, his name is Lando. I will use him in other events.
Now, I'm looking at your page. One thing that stands out, you say men don't know how to flirt these days. They just want easy access. What does flirting do for you?
I like to tease, and I like to be teased. You know, I feel like it gives a sexiness of the allure of what you might get. You know, it's like, okay, so he's licking his lips, and they look, you know, they look really nice, and I'm watching his mouth, and, you know, so you just kind of, you know, watch him, and it's just a flirt, you know. His dick is hard while you're flirting with him, and you flash him that you don't have no panties on, and it's just all of that. You know, it's a realm of sexiness for sure.
Would you say you're a flirt in your vanilla life as well?
Oh yeah, I'm a big flirt.
All right. Also, you say you're looking for a dominant man, but not a dom. How would you break that down?
So I was actually married to my dom, and and so I know a lot about how a dom should be and should not be, and what went right and what went wrong in that relationship. And what I find is I'm actually a very dominant female, and I say I'm dominant and not by choice. I'm actually pretty old-fashioned. I feel like the man is the head of the household. and, you know, he should be there and take control and make sure that everything is moving in the right direction. But it's really hard to find that nowadays. And I've been a single mom a lot as well, so I take that role. So I know how to do this well. But the question is there some male out there that can take that reign from me? And it's really hard to find today. I find that sometimes men are a little lazy, and it's really hard to find that guy that you look at and say, yep, that's my dude, you know.
Now, do you think most guys, they think they're dominant, but they really don't have a clue of what needs to be done?
Yeah, I really do. I try to put that little definition in my profile. Just because you want to spank my ass and tell me to get on my knees to do something does not make you a dom. You have to earn that. And somebody like myself, who is dominant, I'm an alpha female for sure. You've got to earn that from me. And so that man that earns that from me, he will probably be in my life for some time.
Cool. Now, you also said you're huge into role play. Any particular role plays you've done in the past that really stuck out to you?
I just did this recently, actually. I had a guy that he was really shy and wanted to meet me at a bar, but he wanted me to go to the bar and flirt with another guy and so he could watch. And as the aspect of he's kind of my husband and watching me flirt with another man, and I don't know if it was the humility on his end or how he liked it, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun for the guy who was my victim. But, you know, the guy that I did it for, he really enjoyed himself.
Nice. And one other thing I was really interested in seeing on your page, that you were interviewing for domestic sub. When what is that involved?
So I'm very busy. I'm extremely busy. And I work full time. I do the events, and they seem to be coming faster and faster. I always said I would only do one a month, but it seems like I'm getting a lot more requests, like the one I just held with the photo shoot. I also did a birthday party for one of my group members, for his girlfriend. So a lot of stuff is coming faster, and so I don't have a lot of time. And then, you know, on top of all that, hey, I'm a mom. You know, so I'm always doing stuff with my kids. And the one thing I miss about my last husband, and he wasn't a sub, but I wish I had enough guts to make him my sub, is he used to do my laundry, clean the house, do the yard, make sure the cars are taken care of. And I never had to worry about that. It was off my plate. And so when I lived in Florida, I actually had a few subs in Florida. And they're very hard to find here because the subs here, they're more sexual than, a servant. They're just, it's all about sex with them. And I don't like submissive men. So I'm probably not going to have sex with you.
So this would be a non-sexual relationship with the sub?
Yeah, it is non-sexual. The one thing I do is I interview them and I get to know what their kinks are, what motivates them to be submissive, and what are the punishments that they really don't want to see me do to them. And if one tells me that he wants to please me with oral, then that is something I would reward him with after he cleaned my house or did what task I assigned to him properly without me having to constantly be on top of it. Yeah. And then if they said, you know, they didn't like for me to put my stilettos through their nutsack while they laid naked and I poured hot wax on them, then I'm probably going to do that when you fuck up.
How many applications have you received? Are you getting a lot of interest in it?
Yeah, so I try to do a face-to-face interview. I have one coming up on the 9th. I set a couple hours aside to interview people, and I just really haven't found that mix yet. And you're letting somebody in your house, so you're also checking them out, and if they get past the interview process, then it goes even a step further, you know, because it's all about safety.
Now, you mentioned safety, and you do have a son. Is anybody in your family like aware that you're involved in the lifestyle swinger community?
No. Although my son showed me, I used to have an Instagram account. I had a guy ask to photograph my feet, and I did. And then he helped me set up an Instagram account so he could, you know, advertise it. And I kind of forgot about it. And my son brought me a snapshot that his friend had sent because I put my face on. He's like, Mom, what is this? I'm like, I don't know. I must have been hacked. So needless to say, I deleted the Instagram account. Right. And I should have made it private, but I just didn't think about it. So
I guess with the lifestyle, there's so many different definitions. Where would you describe yourself as?
An event coordinator. You know? Yeah, I like throwing the events. I'm always thinking about different ones to do. Like, I have one that I haven't decided what month I was going to do it yet, but we're going to go to Atlantic City, and it's close. It's on the water, close to the casinos, and it's a mansion. It's an Airbnb. And have like a sexy weekend, you know. So I'm always trying to think of things. I also have partnerships with people. Like I did, I don't know if you saw it, but I did an infused brunch with play afterwards. So I did a brunch time on a Sunday. One of my group members he owns Highs and Hellos. And he catered the brunch.
Nice.
And it was really good. So I always try to do different stuff.
So yeah, so it sounds like you, you're not just based in Maryland. You kind of go out and just branch out and partner up with different people. That's neat, and it brings different opportunities and meet new people.
Right. And, you know, like, I also believe that there's enough freaks in this area that you don't have to be nasty to each other.
Right.
So I try to be respectful of some of the people who throw events. I try to be really respectful of the days that they throw their events. I won't book anything if they have something. And that's just out of respect. But also, I don't trash another event person because everybody does it their own way. And there's no cookie cutter way to do it. I personally like to do it to have fun. Some people do it just for the money. You know, they'll pack in 100 people in a space where you can't move. I don't do that. I feel like nobody's having fun at that point. And so I try to balance it and make sure that everybody's having a good time. You can't please everybody by far, but I feel like if you try to make sure that the atmosphere that people are in, that they're comfortable, and they can let their hair down and be who they want to be, that it goes really smooth.
I think with living in the DMV, it's a good and bad thing. Like within the 50-mile radius, you can be in D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, and three mm-hmm. different events could be the same theme. You're looking to see who's going to the party, and you see these people are signed up all on the same different parties. Like, how do you know which party is going to be the hottest when everybody signed up for the same party?
Right. So just because they signed up online does not mean they're going to show up to your party.
That's true.
I personally, for my events, you have to register and pay ahead of time. And that's just because I like to know the balance of male-female ratio that I'm going to have, because I don't want 75 men to sign up on a site, but five show up, and I cut it off because 75 people signed up online.
Right.
So you can't trust that. So with myself personally, I have registration ahead of time. Now I do like early bird prices, or if there's a holiday, I'll do a holiday price, or, you know, a Freaky Friday price. And I try to, you know, keep it mixed up, but, you know, and, you know, we pay for the rooms, and I actually have mine catered for the most part, because I don't have time to cook all that stuff. Well, I did cook once, but, you know, it's a lot of work. So I want to make sure that when you come, it's the only thing I'm doing is making sure you're having a good time.
And I think that's smart, because it kind of protects yourself as well. Like you said, you don't want to say you have 30 guys show up and only four girls are there, or four couples are there. So this way you can have a good balance. And like you said, you're paying for it up front. So this way you can kind of still have, if the people who pay but don't show, you can still kind of balance that out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are still people that do pay and not come for whatever's going on in their life. But I like my numbers to be not low, but like the event you came to. That place is almost like an apartment. It was three bedrooms, two baths, a living room, a kitchen. And I use that spot a lot because of the space that it has for everybody. I went to an event in the same exact hotel, and they packed damn near 100 people in that place.
Wow.
Right. So, I mean, I left. It was like, okay, so this isn't safe at all. And that is like a surefire way for something bad to go wrong. And nobody wants any type of confrontations or anything to pop up. You only want to be there to have fun and meet sexy people. And me personally, I'm a huge voyeur, so I like to watch. But if you got all those people in that room, you can't watch. It's just too much going on.
So when you're in voyeur mode, what are you looking for? What turns you on?
I like to, I guess I'm on the prowl for who I want to see. Maybe not that night, but in a later date and time. I like to watch their technique and, you know, see what they're doing. You know, like I have one group member, she's a young girl, and one guy told me, he's like, man, Michelle, I thought your head game was on point, but the other female, she is spectacular. And I was like, really? Wow. I have got to see that. So I just happened to go to another event, and she showed up at the event, and I was going to go have fun with a friend of mine, and I stopped, and I said, wait a minute. I said, I have got to see this female give you head. I need to see her technique. He's like, what? I said, yeah, you heard me. And so she's like, absolutely. So I sat there and watched her, you know, give him a blowjob. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay. I don't know what you're doing different, but, you know, I don't know what's down your throat either. So, but it was fun. So, you know, I just have fun with it.
So where would you think most guys would say did they give you a lot of compliments on your oral skills?
Oral skills, my sex. I like to so when I'm having sex, I actually do it for myself because I like it. And I'm in it to make sure that I'm being fulfilled. And so I guess I put it all in. And, you know, if you're going to do it, you have to do it right.
Right. You want to get some pleasure out of yourself as well.
Right.
All right. Before I wrap this interview up, is anything you want to add or if you want to plug your group or anything?
So I'm on SLS as Yes Mistress Please, and that's just PLS on the end. And then I'm on FET as Yes Mistress Please with an E on the end. But my group is Pleasure for the Moment, and it's Pleasure with the number 4 and the Moment. And I actually have a website being developed right now. And once that's developed, I'm going to have a release party. So look forward to that. And also, I'm looking for vendors for that as well, because I want some vendors there so they can, you know, pimp their stuff out.
Nice. Well, I have a pair of dice in my hand. I'm a roll the dice. And whatever number I roll on, I'm going to ask you the those questions. Are you game for that?
Say again. You gonna ask me to what?
So I have a pair of dice in my hand and I'm gonna roll them, and whatever number I land on, that's the number of questions I'm gonna ask you, just random questions.
Okay.
Okay. See, we got a 10.
Oh, great.
What do you do when you get horny in public?
When I'm horny in public, I usually flirt.
Okay. What's the most sexual daring thing you've ever done?
Wow. Now I feel like a big whore because I do a lot of stuff. I think the most daring thing I have ever done was, gosh, I don't even know if it's even considered to be daring. I had sex outside on a bench.
Okay.
I guess that was the most daring thing during the day.
That's pretty daring.
Yeah.
What's one thing that you hesitated to do during sex, but you end up loving it?
So there's only one limitation I've actually ever had, and I still haven't really done it. So I don't know if I love it or not, but I'm told I will. I've never done anal.
Never done anal?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you spit or swallow?
I swallow.
Are you a screamer or a moaner?
It depends on the guy.
Okay, that's number 5. Number 6, what is your favorite spot to be kissed? Where is your favorite spot to be kissed?
I guess, my neck.
Would you rather have a threesome, gangbang, or orgy?
Does a threesome consist of 2 guys?
Your preference.
Okay. Probably a threesome.
What is your favorite position?
Depends on the guy.
Depends on the guy. And I think that was number 9. Does naughty talk get you aroused?
Does what get me aroused?
Naughty talk. Like dirty talk.
Oh, yeah. I love dirty talk. Most definitely. And if you have your hand wrapped around my neck while you're doing it, whispering in my ear, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. And the last question is going to be, what is your hottest sexual memory?
My hottest memory. I took a guy that I knew at one of my events because, you know, I'm the host, so I have to be at the door. And I put him on a chair, and I can't remember the name of the song, I rode him on the chair in front of everybody. That was kind of the icebreaker.
Nice. I thank you for playing that game with me, and I thank you for joining the podcast. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me. I feel honored. So thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. I can't wait to see your new website and attend one of your parties.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope you definitely enjoy that conversation with Mistress Michelle. And I definitely look forward to attending one of her parties. Until next time, this is ASAP Hardwood signing off. What's your swinger story? ASAP.